keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And watch the 411 with Sharon Kay. Is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. This is Pastor's Roundtable for the month of January, the first Pastor's Roundtable in 2022. And generally it's the third Sunday. And this one is the fourth because, you know, it snowed or sleeted or whatever it did last week. So we were not able to get that taken care of, but we're happy to have Reverend Dr. Napoleon Harris of First Baptist Church South Englewood on. And Reverend Keith Caldwell of C. Hubbard had to get ready for his service this morning. Now, Reverend Harris, please tell the audience where First Baptist Church South Englewood is located, please.
Gladly. We are at 1515 Ann Street out east, and we'd love for you to come and visit with us sometime again in the area.
Now, Ann Street is off of what? Because I know it's not like a main street, so tell folks, give them a little idea how to get in there.
Sure. But I think the easiest way to come is you're coming down Gallatin Road, let's say heading towards Madison. When you get to the intersection where Trinity Lane is, mm-hmm. to your left, mm-hmm. you're gonna make that turn on your right, right before you get to the cookout, and you go take that street right on down to Branch. Hang a right on Branch and just look up and you'll see the church.
Okay. And just look up.
Just look up.
And there it is. And I'm happy to hear your voice again and hear from you. You've been on the round table before, and as I mention every time I get a chance to talk to you, I know some of the loving and wonderful members at your church, and I hold them very near and dear to my heart, and they love that church, and they love their pastor. So, and your tenure, what, 3 years now, two?
Believe it or not, it's going on seven.
No, hush your mouth. it has not been seven.
Let's see, my child was not quite one and she's eight, so yeah, it's been going on 7 years.
Well, I guess time flew by and I wasn't present.
That means all year you're going to be hearing sermons on seven being completion and you know it's coming. So all year, get ready.
Yeah.
You
know. Well, either that or he's going to preach them himself.
Yeah, you'll be preaching them too. Yeah,
for seven, sure. Yeah, for sure. Anyway, well, we're happy that you are available today, and you know, so many people that you've met, because I think when you first got there, you were on, and you had some history here in Nashville. But since that time, what have you, observations that you have made about the issues here in this region? Because your area has, like all of Nashville, been gentrified too. And how has that impacted your church family over there?
Wow, yeah, so just like Brother Caldwell was saying, the neighborhood has changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. I think there are some named and or unnamed psychological impacts. I know I feel them driving through the neighborhood, mm-hmm. and it's kind of one of those things, like you mentioned about the community center, where, you know, here it is, we've been living here all these years, and, you know, our city hasn't so much as put a sidewalk here, mm. you know, and But with the appearance of others, these, what are they calling themselves, urban explorers or whatever, urban pioneers, I forget what the language of, began to move in, and now there's a push to get bike lanes, and, it's just amazing, and as they're tearing up the sidewalks and tearing up the streets to install Google Fiber and the likes, that they're enhancing the neighborhood, not for the original occupants, but for those people who are on their way and are coming. And it stinks.
Well, and you know that bike lane thing is a dead giveaway. When you start seeing that, I mean, because we have it over here on DB Todd, which is already crowded. And I'm like, okay, because they, with the quickness, could do that, but could not fix up anything else over here. It is just so blatantly obvious. So I'm glad you said that, because when people start seeing bike lanes and new parks, then you know changes are coming.
Well, I'll tell you the first marker. The marker is that actual marker. The mayor will come out and smile, and they put down a little marker, and it's almost as if that marker says, this was once a neighborhood for POC, people of color, but not anymore.
Attention, Nashville.
Yeah. I want to say this, because I'm not certain how long we'll have to be together. So I want to say this, because I think this kind of covers the range of things. There's that old adage, you meant for evil, God meant for good.
Amen.
And I think when you look at the rezoning of Nashville, And you pour in other districts, dilute other districts. I saw our sister Odessa Kelly make a statement. She said, we can organize anywhere. And I really thought about that. I've been kind of sitting with it, because I have been of the persuasion that we are in the midst of what will soon be a national coup. One of the powers that be. I really think that we're going to get to a point where people will talk, and in our conversations, we'll begin to dismantle and tear down the false barriers, I won't say false. They're real barriers, but they're not built on anything. These shadow barriers of race. And we'll get back to being people. And I think that this, although that's not the intention of doing that, I think there's some God in it, some way, somehow. I think God will work through it and allow us in our organizing to build that broad base of understanding of what works for the downtrodden and the poor really is going to work for everybody. And I really think that message, I think that gospel will spread, if you will. And I think we'll see power to the people. Well, I'm optimistic.
Well, and because things are not going to turn out like anybody thinks they are anyway. Because we are not the holders of the divine plan, because it's not our world. And I don't know why man thinks that he can fool the Most High. I'm trying to understand the mindset of people who sit up in some beautiful edifices, and I'm like, well, what scripture did you get that from? Where they can actually think that they can redesign things and totally exclude anybody who makes them uncomfortable. How would you be able to do anything when you're preaching and you're dealing with the community? Somebody is likely going to get uncomfortable, Rev. Okay. If you,
absolutely.
Okay, if you do your job and touch hearts, souls, and minds like you are doing, somebody is going to feel some discomfort. How can you mandate, legislate the end of discomfort? I'm trying to understand how folks really honestly and will go to some of these places and worship and think they're doing the right thing. How do you do that? And how is that going to make a community feel like it's part of a community? Because a community is not going to feel that if it's torn asunder. It's just not going to. So, you know, as your work at the grassroots community level, you see it in your neighborhood, and you start extracting out anybody who is non-white, who's going to be over there?
I mean, just right. You like that diversity. You know, I mean, that's exactly what's happening. You know, that's exactly what's happening. It isn't the first time. If you kind of look, we were able, just nationally, but even locally, parts of town that became black parts of town, or parts of town where we had white flight, you know, and spurred on by the automobile industry and the expansion of the interstates. And now we kind of seeing the white flight back into the city centers. And black flight outside and even further beyond the suburbs, you know. So it's kind of just a reverse of history. But to your point of what makes you do that, or how can you legislate around your fears, again, that is power. The capacity to make things happen. If you don't like it, you do something about it. They are educated in power, right? You know, educated in power, that's what we call that privilege. They are educated in their power, and we oftentimes are not, to our detriment. So we are educated, or if we're educated at all, with regard to power, it's typically reactionary, not proactive. We don't necessarily know the venues, the hubs, the places where decisions are made, the procedures and policies of going about them, or how to impact policy, or even how to have a lens with which to view policies through. Right? That's so important, because oftentimes what happens is the powers that be will go find one or two of us, particularly black preachers or community leaders. And we won't have all the facts and details. They'll paint a picture for us. And we'll go out and champion something that is not beneficial for the majority of people, and certainly for our own constituents. And all of this comes back down to a misunderstanding of power.
Do you tie some of this to not having education or not being empowered? Or just, you know, everybody can't lead, as we all well know. And if you're a follower, you just are. But people don't have the strength and the courage. Because, you know, courage is in real short supply. And, you know, it just really is. If you have some, hold it. Don't let it go. And in saying that, do you think that the people don't feel empowered enough to be able to put themselves in a better position, or to understand what's going on? They just go along to get along?
I think there's some of it. I think some of it is some of the residuals of, as Brother Keith talked about, white supremacy and the long-lasting legacy of slavery. We live in a collective trauma, so there's that. There's some of it is just poor indoctrination. Pastor Caldwell talked about that as well, you know. So we got a variety of factors that have us where we are. It's it's complex, you know. It isn't just the one thing. It's more than a lack of courage. Mm-hmm. Some of it is just a lack of understanding and knowledge. Our educational system mm-hmm. is a bit of indoctrination. And you go back and you look at the critical race theory hoopla, right? You know, the fact that you can say you're going to take this away or take these things out of the curriculum, you know, that tells you that that our wonderful yet state-sponsored education mm-hmm. is just that, a wonderful but yet state-sponsored mm-hmm. education. And with the state shackles, come the state shackles, and those things may vary by election, mm-hmm. right? You know, so there's a variety of things mm-hmm. that go against our best common interest. And I'm not even speaking in terms of just black and white. I mean, period. Right. Right? You know, because black and white, I mean, it's very real, it's true, but again, that's a shadowy barrier, in my understanding. Because when you really peel this back, right, what white families want is typically the same thing that black families want. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for the day when we kind of get past that right. and can start to talk to that.
Right.
I'm not saying that racism and race isn't real. That would be very Uncle Tom of me. mm. But I'm speaking in terms of what moves the needle, and I'm talking about a power to the people, right? I think that many of our white brothers and sisters have gotten on their white horses, galvanized by Mr. Trump, mm-hmm. former president, mm-hmm. and what they're going to do is, I give them another 4 years, they're going to look, and they're going to have to wrestle with the same question that many of us wrestled with. We got our black president, you guys got your super white warrior knight, but how has that impacted your life? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're gonna say, it ain't done nothing for us. Outside of catching COVID at a rally or two, we have not made any material gains. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's when they'll start to see the falsity of all of that stuff, that you were pawns mm-hmm. in a larger game mm-hmm. of wealth accumulation for a few. Mm. And that's when we'll be able to have those conversations and move the needle.
Well, and I would like to put this into what you just said. And the hope is that our white brothers and sisters, and some of them listening to me now, that they don't let this mission of extracting all people of color, all races, extracting everything culturally out of everything before they speak up and say, this doesn't make any sense. Because if they don't say anything, it could possibly be too late.
Well, I'm not counting on them to do nothing for nobody. I think that we are enough. Our say is enough.
Amen.
Our being is enough. So there's that. But I also think that, sometimes the minority is the minority, but they make the majority of the noise.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we see socially and politically. You know, you have a dissonant few with dissonant views mm-hmm. making so much noise, and sadly people kind of, because, you know, power, wealth, they own the media outlets, and they just keep establishing more of them and more of them, more channels. And they just create an echo chamber where people are just hearing ridiculousness over and over again,
absolutely.
And they start to believe it.
Yes,
that's a product of our programming.
Yeah.
If it's on TV, if it's on an internet site, if it's on a media site, it's got to be right. We don't learn critical thinking.
Right.
We have not learned critical thinking.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. You're right about that. that's why we shake it up over here. Because you're not going to hear that over there. No. It's enough of that, you know, stuff. Enough. And I feel very blessed to be at a media outlet, although it is nonprofit and considered as college radio. They still got some microphones up here that can be a blowtorch. Okay, I can guarantee you that. And this, because, you know, we're not operating, this is no classroom. I'm a 43-year broadcast veteran, and X is a 20-plus-year broadcast veteran. you know, we like got the years of experience and know the difference and have worked in both cultures. So there's some things that the community this size with this population of black people or this population of minority communities and diverse people need to hear something besides that same old drumbeat of just hate and racism. They need to hear something else, and putting balance into the air is a blessing.
And remember when they told you over there that you couldn't talk about stuff
don't
like this?
Don't be talking about that black stuff.
No,
I will never forget that as long as I live when I work.
That's the proof
they
right
say,
there.
Quit talking about all that black stuff. All that.
That's the Harrison Water. You were told, do not. It's not that some other. Do not talk about this or else.
You know, that's what's in my history, brother. Trying to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Quit talking about that black stuff all the time, Sarah Kay. Anyway, but look at me. I'm sitting here talking about black stuff over here on Historically Black College campus. Praise the Lord. Now let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
The 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Wednesday afternoon at 4, hear from media law professor Ian Rosenberg on his new book on free speech. At 4:30, my guest is Metro Police Chief John Drake. At 5 o'clock, hear from Metro Schools Director Dr. Adrienne Battle. And at 5:30, clinical psychologist, consultant, and author Dr. Donald E. Grant discusses his new book, which explores the framework of white supremacy. Your questions and comments are always welcome.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. and every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Support for WFSK comes from the Tennessee Performing Arts Center.
Join the circle of life at the Lion King. Don't miss your chance to experience the world's number one musical. The Lion King is one of the most awe-inspiring productions ever brought to life on stage. Feel alive at the Lion King. Now playing at Tennessee Performing Arts Center through January 23rd. Didn't we all think we'd be commuting in flying cars by now? Actually, we weren't that far off in our predictions for the future. The future is here, and it's the electric vehicle. Your neighbors are already driving them. They are saving all that money you spend on gas and maintenance. Watch them wave as they drive past you at the gas station. They don't have to get oil changes. As a matter of fact, there's very little maintenance. If you don't count changing the wiper blades occasionally. Seriously, that's it. Wiper blades and tire rotations. And electric vehicles are fun to drive. It's a smooth, quiet ride. Your music sounds a lot better when you can actually hear it on the highway. Have I piqued your curiosity? You can learn more about how you can save money and have fun driving an electric vehicle at driveelectrictn.org. In case you missed it, driveelectrictn.org. Sponsored by the East Tennessee Clean Fuels Coalition, the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
You saved my life. You held my hand when I was scared. You helped me say goodbye to my dad. You were an example for me. You gave me strength when I thought I had none left. I couldn't tell you then, but I want to say thank you. all of you, for everything. Thank you to the physicians, nurses, and others working in America's hospitals and health systems. A message from the American Hospital Association, American Medical Association, and American Nurses Association.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic this University. And I'm happy to have on the Pastor's Roundtable this morning Reverend Dr. Napoleon Harris of First Baptist Church South Englewood. And what is the service procedure and what time and address and all for today, Rev?
Absolutely. So we worship in a variety of ways to try to accommodate everybody. We are on 7:60 a.m. at 9 a.m. There's a broadcast of our worship service, but we also worship live every Sunday at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. You can catch us there at 1515 Ann Street in the sanctuary, or you can stream live with us on Facebook Live at the church's Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Okay. And all of them are just fine. We don't prioritize one over the other. Mm-hmm. We do recognize, I hate to say this like that, the governor from Virginia, but that is a matter of personal liberty. how you choose to attend, of course, that doesn't hurt anybody. Masks are required.
Okay.
But that's all. We do encourage we require the wearing of masks, and we encourage socially distancing and hand sanitizer, and if need be, gloves are provided as well.
Now, over the 2-year period here, we've been dealing with the pandemic. What, besides everybody going to Facebook and putting their services up there, what other things have you seen change in the body and with the people? And how did you have, you know, with all your degrees and, you know, all your pedigree and knowledge, did it prepare you for, is there a course on what to do during a pandemic at the preacher school? Well, I just want to know, y'all, is there a course for what to do during a pandemic at the preacher school? I just, you know, don't know if they taught that one yet.
No.
Okay.
No. No. You know what? This has been and continues to be an interesting time. I do thank God for theological education and training. My sister says this all the time. All seminaries, divinity schools are not created equal. And I'm very thankful for the preparation for the party of ministry that we received at Vanderbilt Divinity School, where both Pastor Caldwell and I were privileged to attend. So it's a blessing to be able to think critically. Love had to be the order of the day, and to think about and love on the people of God and what was best, the best thought, best move. We were on the front end of suspending in-person services, and I don't know if it's fair to say we were on the back end. Everybody started to kind of come back into the building at different times. Mm-hmm. We did what we could, from food distribution to actual vaccination clinics. Mm. You know, educating people and just trying to stay connected. Mm-hmm. But it was harrowing. I earned my doctorate in the pandemic. I had a virtual ceremony and everything. And so, you know, I was writing my dissertation as the world was. I mean, wow. I 2020 was as a year I shall never forget. First the tornado, then the pandemic, yeah. And then the bombing, and you know,
yeah,
it was just
a lot.
Yeah.
And well, I guess that just goes all the day's work for a Christian, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying, we're supposed to be ready at all times, you know.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah, so, I mean, if that's the case, then we best get to cracking, y'all, because, you know, there's more to come. And yeah. I don't think, you know, if weevils wobble and they don't fall down, then we don't need to pray, you know.
Amen.
And that's real, because a lot of people were just going proclipped on this thing, you know, and unable, you know, they thought God was against them. And, I mean, I done heard a little bit of everything on these pastors' roundtables during these last couple years, you know, to try to... Because this show's history, some of it is about fortification and the empowerment process. We must fortify people and in order to strengthen them so they can get patched up and go back out there and get the job done. So it's been various levels of alarm bells constantly going off to service and help the community. And I depend on y'all when I have you on, you know, to drop some strength nuggets on people, you know, because some of them are about to go down. And in some of these instances with these things that were going on that you just named, you know, from the tornado in early of the year, you know, all the way through till, you know, Christmas and the beat down with our health and the loss of so many lives in this. There were a lot of people about to just literally think God didn't care anymore. What do you say to that?
God always cares. And sound like a beaten drum. What we have to go back and look at is power in the human response. You know, even in COVID, right, one of the things that made the news that just kind of got swept under was that there were companies that were fighting. Literally fighting, suing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Countries upset with each other over who would have the rights to the technology to issue a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So people were dying while wealthy, powerful people were fighting over who was going to have the market share over health of people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the sort of thing that is just wrong and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that God isn't present or God isn't helping. God gave out the knowledge,
mm-hmm.
gave out the skill set of people, you know, and the capacity to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hoard it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's just like water. When the flow, when the current of water stops, it begins to stink.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a smelly world because greed has stopped the flow of currency of ideas, thoughts,
mm-hmm.
health, you know, and it is hoarded up and it's just not supposed
mm-hmm.
to.
Amen. Say that now.
Yeah.
And something else that...
Can I keep going? Because I want to talk about that some more.
Yeah, I want you to... I'm going to okay. continue on that vein because a lot of people were quoting the scripture about the world must be coming to an end. Or, you know, this is the last days and times. I heard that a lot from people who, you know, don't really know scripture, but they know that. And I said, it's amazing you know that, but you won't go get a vaccination. I mean, it's so amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, having said that, how many times did you hear people refer to these as end times as a result of all the calamity? That and it's not the first calamity. If you read scripture, there's calamity all through the Bible.
Oh yeah,
you know. So
that's right.
Oh yeah, most definitely. So how do you address that when you're hit with that?
You know, we've been saying it's the last days since Revelation. So if you look at it from God's lens, you know, a day is but 1,000 years. So you know, it's the last days in that regard, but. You know, it's not about quantity
mm-hmm.
of life and how long we're going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
It's about quality. So I'm less concerned with how long we're going to be here with, as I am with how strong we're going to be while we're here.
Amen.
But to speak to the kind of nihilism of if it's over, I think we also saw the value of community
mm-hmm.
and the value of being able to gather. And once that was restricted, how sad it made many of us. And I think in terms of just from a religious leadership standpoint, I'm grateful for the churches that pivoted and found ways to connect and keep meaningful connections going for people. Because I think we take for granted being in community, what that means, you know, to have that space that you come to on a weekly, bi-weekly basis, that group of people that you see who know your name, who are concerned with you, who pray for you, you know, that part was very difficult. And I'm appreciative for people who pivoted, who worked through those difficulties and found ways to still make it happen and do what it do.
Well, and with that statement, I can vividly remember the stories here on the show that I've had, news stories about people that had their faith challenged during this time because their denomination or their faith or wherever they were, their house of worship, they, you know, if you wear a mask in here, we're not going to let you in, or you're a sinner.
Oh, you know, God. Yeah, I know.
So, you know, what does that, I mean.
Don't come in here praying with a mask
on. Right, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was just a plethora of stories. I just said, you know, and one of these preachers out here in Wilson County, and I think there was one in Hendersonville, or so, you know, and all these folks that, you know, would use guilt. You know, you don't love God enough if you don't inflict yourself with something that could kill you. I mean, what kind of mindset is this with the community of faith? Now, these are supposed to be the leaders of the church. These are the pastors telling people this stuff.
Well, I think, you know, you can have a title. That's phenomenal. but, you know, if you don't have, I think that's just, they were miseducated.
Yes.
And they have, and they've never sat down to think about their theology all the way through. Right? You know, and this kind of fear baiting and fear mongering. I know some on the other side of the aisle. I know some African American pastors who had similar things. And because we could not reimagine preaching or reimagine church without somebody saying, amen, say it, preacher.
Yeah.
You know, encourage and spur people to come back for our own reasons. And so it's one of those things, you know, you hate to say to each his own, because it's not necessarily to each his own, but at the end of the day, you have to be able to stand before your God with your decisions that you've made and realize that people are very precious to God, and there you have it, you know.
Most definitely. Well, I know for some it caused a great deal of confusion and conflict in their minds that God God didn't love them. And, you know, and I made those statements, I meant black and white. Because there were some black preachers. I had a couple of them on this show that I was like, okay.
I want their names afterwards. We got to talk. No, I mean, you know what? We are admonished to speak the truth in love.
Yes.
And I think sometimes, and when I say it, I really do mean, you know, sitting down and just breaking bread and talking and saying, you know, well, what made you to think like that?
Yeah.
Or have you considered this way? What, you know, I'm thankful for the fellowship of ministers here in Nashville. I'm just speaking of black clergy because, you know, I have brothers who and sisters, but it's mostly the brothers who are very, very conservative-leaning. And we can sit down and break bread over salad or chicken or whatever the case may be and talk through those differences and reach a place of agreement on something. And the same thing with those brothers and sisters who may be left-leaning or more liberal. We can sit down, because we don't agree on everything, and have those conversations. So I'm very thankful for the faith community that we have here in Nashville. It's very diverse.
It is.
But at the same time, I think that, you know, that's what school does. School is the place where you march in there with your little shiny theology and you slam it down on the table and somebody say, yeah, but what's that? How does this happen?
forced to defend it, and you start thinking, it's like, ooh, wait a minute, I hadn't thought about it. Yeah. And that's what people don't understand about school. It's the battleground where you test this stuff out, you know.
Yeah.
And if you stay humble and stay with the Lord, He'll keep God will keep changing and adapting your theology.
Yeah.
As you grow closer to God, some things you'll say.
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor Harris, there's nothing like watching a pastor who's been pastoring for quite some time sort of have to, you know, eat a little humble pie after to discover that that was probably more tradition than anything because they've never been challenged on it, you know, in certain areas, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to, like, I'm gloating on that kind of stuff, man, because I'm
by no means, for, like, no means.
Yeah, you know, the building up of people, and I think it's better to learn it and to learn that, you know, because it helps us to just be better. This construct that we are like these fixed beings in faith is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
We all growing. We don't know.
Yeah, because,
you know, I mean,
I see us all falling short. I don't know about, you know, I know I can say for Sharon Kay in her house, we fall short. We're, you know, there's no perfection coming out of there. I just do the best I can every day.
Here's a quick example. It was Pastor James Campbell. We were in class. I can't think which class it was. And for the first time, some of us had heard that he didn't tell us that he was preparing us, but he said, you know, Jesus, you know, the disciples took Jesus' body out of the tomb and hid it. And so that's why we say he got up or said that he rose on the third day, because his body was hidden. Now, if you could have just seen the look on everybody in the class, like, what? I mean, but, you know, he you know, brought us back down. But that was one of the things that sort of made us, that because it's out there. People say stuff. And so if you never heard that, you've never been challenged on that, you don't know how to respond to that. And so it just sort of floored a bunch of people in there. Yeah.
Well, he stretched your mind.
Yeah.
He truly did. Absolutely. That was a lesson you will never forget. And that's how the seasoned pros do it. They want you to stretch your mind. That's why it's called school. Anyway, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This weekend on Blue Simon the City, the late, great Mr. Bobby Blue Blaine.
It lets me know that you're still thinking about me.
His birthday is the 27th, so we're showing Mr. Blaine much love this weekend. Etta James' birthday is also next week, and she's performing one of her past performances live. Join me on Rogene Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blue Simon the City this weekend right here. Catch Blue Simon the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from National Shows 2. Presenting 7-time Grammy winner Gladys Knight. The enchanting voice of Gladys Knight. One impressive hit after another. Gladys Knight, April 25th at the Ryman. Tickets are available at Ryman.com.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home.
Oh,
that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
At a time when misinformation is all too common on social media, we take great pride in bringing you the news that matters, that impacts your family, news you can trust. Local broadcast journalists bring you the facts, covering the stories breaking in our community and across the globe. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on local journalism. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University, and good news as far as this weather is concerned for today. Happy to say 47 versus 17. We are anticipating a nice sunny day for today and tomorrow, even warmer than that. And then it goes back into the 40s, but we're at 53 for tomorrow. Sun shine continues. Those overnight lows will be in the low to mid 20s. Lows were up out to teens and can see the sun. It just gives you, you know, you just get the warmth even though you step outside and, you know, just the mentalness of that, you know. And I'm so grateful that the Heavenly Father created a sun that that can shine and give us that special feeling that we get when it comes out after we've had clouds and cold weather. Currently, we're partly cloudy. You all can get to church today, and nothing to stop you. And 26 degrees. Well, of course, I say, Reverend Dr. Napoleon Harris, I said nothing to stop you, but there are things that could stop you from going, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, yes, indeed.
You want to urge them to come to First Baptist Church South Englewood today and take part in the services in person or online. Now, with your online work that you have been doing over this time period, were you concerned that it wouldn't take off, or it would impact the people? What were some of the concerns that you had, knowing the congregation that you have, and were they telling you we're not coming because of, you know, COVID?
We were transitioning and moving to a hybrid format before we knew there would be a global pandemic. It's just the way of the world. The good thing about COVID is that it made more congregations do that, and it also helped congregations like mine see the need for that. It's just another, I'll always view the internet as another tool and the tool belt of those of us who would love Jesus enough to do what he said and make disciples.
Amen. And I wanted to, because we have been talking about inclusion and diversity and et cetera, it is interesting how certain people feel a certain way about words such as inclusion and diversity, and they don't want them included. Or see those as flags for the possibility that we might be talking about critical race theory, because I saw this list. I was doing some research on one of these women liberty groups or whatever they are, these mad mothers, and they had a list of terminology that if you see these words or these somebody uses any of these words, these are the words. And I was like, oh my God, y'all did not make a list. And you know, in your training or anything in your classroom or your workplace, then that's a red flag that they're getting ready to make you uncomfortable, I guess. I don't know. When you said diverse churches and houses of faith in Nashville, I just can't help but think, how are we going to extract that? I mean, just the dynamic of excluding anything that even mentions or brings anything that of discomfort. How would you handle that if the community of faith in this city and the population is so diverse? Is there any way that you can imagine a city like this one that has tried to attract so many cultures and races here and likes to brag it's a diverse city and likes to talk about its diverse community of faith and its educational platforms, and then suddenly we're not allowed to talk about it anymore? I mean, that's been touted here. So how do you, because you know the governor signed that in the law, you know, thou shalt not in those schools, and teach it, don't talk about it, don't use the words. So how does that work? How's that going to work for y'all at your tables when you're meeting, having the meetings with the variety of pastors that you know and, break bread with?
I think, again, critical race theory was not something that was taught in school, aside from maybe law school. I mean, I was, honest to God, writing my dissertation when I stumbled across critical race theory just before it got to be the hot bug turn that it is in the news. But I may not have been at the dissertation stage. But my point is, here I am, a graduate student times two, times three. And I just stumbled across it as a way of understanding policy, a lens through which to gauge policy. It's not something that's taught K through 12 in the first place, so I'm not certain where the rush of blood was from it, and the need to block something that just wasn't happening in the first place. So I'm not certain how to answer that. I think it's all smoke and mirrors. Got people drummed up and hummed up without understanding what it actually is or was.
Well, let me ask this in terms of the body of Christ.
Okay.
Isn't it diverse?
Yes, it is. It's extraordinarily diverse.
Isn't Christianity, being a Christian, isn't that about, because I don't remember at the beginning of time in Genesis, it's saying they were white Americans. I don't remember seeing it. I mean, if it's in there, I wish somebody would tell me. But I don't remember, because I remember other cultures and tribes as being part of what, you know, is the original fabric of this planet. And I don't know. I just.
Well, I mean, you know, complexity is a better word. Complexity. What we see in our world is complexity, because we see complexity in God, right? So people have differing thoughts. I'm not a fan of talking about diversity when it comes to people. Diversity in ideas, maybe, but diversity with people, I just don't like it, etymologically speaking. Mm-hmm. I prefer the term inclusive excellence, because no one is divergent, no one is, to say someone is diverse is to say that they are inherently less than what is the normative way. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem we have. We framed a normative way, or a normative way of being, or a normative culture and said, this is it. Anything that differs from that is somehow less than that. Mm-hmm. That's just not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't honor God who made us all to be different.
Amen.
So,
amen.
So I think just sometimes words have power. So, not sometimes, they always have power.
Yeah.
So we just being careful about that, thinking through how we think of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just take a step back and say, however I feel about this person, God made that person.
Mm-hmm.
God made that group of people, right? So what am I saying about God's handiwork?
Mm.
You want to make a mother mad, talk about their kid.
Oh, Lord. Mm. So when you would have, and are you in the pastors, part of the pastors that gets together with, cross-culturally with other denominations across the city and, does things with them? Occasionally they do that here in Nashville. And, people that don't normally get together have one or two things that they do together to fellowship together. Does your church do that?
No, we're not a part of a league like that at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, at least, different members of the church absolutely do.
Mm-hmm.
And are involved in different things of that nature. Some formal, some informal.
Mm-hmm. How do you think that would impact this particular community that we're in that is so saturated with communities of faith?
I think it has a positive impact. So I participated in a wellness group last year.
Mm-hmm.
The years have run together on me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last year. And it was a multi-generational, multicultural,
mm-hmm.
Faith leaders. And it was just a fantastic time. We just talked about wellness for ourselves, for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And you get different perspectives. And again, those different perspectives are valuable. They're each a value part of being able to see the world better,
mm-hmm.
and see the handiwork of God better.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Because he's our creator, y'all. So, you can't be mad at that, would you? Okay, we'll see how long that lasts. Reverend Harris, what are you going to talk about today in your service?
We'll talk about the difference the church makes. What makes the church so different from other entities, institutions, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be kind of fun. Surprising, I think, maybe, but fun.
Okay. Well, you're making them think, aren't you? Oh, you're one of those kind of preachers. You're going to make people use their heads. Okay. And I knew that about you from talking to you in prior times. Anyway, Reverend Dr. Napoleon Harris of First Baptist Church, South Englewood, could you tell the audience what time service is and where you'll be, and mask required and that type of stuff?
Absolutely. You can tune over to 760 AM and hear our broadcast from last week's service, or you can join us at 10 AM at 1515 Ann Street, there in the sanctuary. Please wear your mask. Masks are required. If you don't have one, we'll supply you with one. We'll supply you with gloves if you request it, and we got plenty of hand sanitizer and space. Or you can log in and watch us live or later on Facebook Live at the church's Facebook page, First Baptist Church South Englewood. We'd love to have you. We hope that you'll come and grow with us and be challenged and changed and better to better live out our faith. Come grow with us.
Amen. That's an appeal right there.
Amen. And congratulations on your doctorate again.
Thank you all. And thank you all for having us on today. I got to run. I'm sorry, but we start at 10 and the going live. I can't be late.
Okay. Well, can you give us a 20-second prayer?
Sure. Absolutely. Let us pray. Gracious and kind God, you are our friend indeed. You are a God of the universe and a God who made us good. We thank you for that. We pray and ask God now that you would be with us, that you would let your peace and your solace wash over us.
Mm.
We pray and ask God that you would allow your love to radiate through us and that you would place your joy deep down inside of us.
Amen.
Now, God, with your peace and with your love and with your joy, with the strength, Lord God, to handle whatever comes our way, whether it be standing on the lines for the change and transformation that you will for the world, or us braving the storms of life. We know that we're better together and we're better with you. And so, God, we ask this in the strong and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Bless all who are listening, all who will listen later, all who are present now, Lord God, and bless the work of our brother X and certainly our sister Sharon. We ask, Lord God, that you would continue to bless this station and bless that ministry, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the city of Nashville. Bless the state of Tennessee.
Amen.
And bless the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was lovely. Thank you. That took about 60 seconds. Now go on before you get late.
Yes, ma'am. All the best to you. Okay.
Thank
bless.
You. God bless. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Reverend Dr. Napoleon Harris. So last time he was on, he was just Reverend.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, then that was been a change year for him then.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Anyway, that's all we have for you today, Nashville. You know, you surely get a lot of pastoral love up here. And, you know, I'm just like, okay, excuse me, I'm here. It's just the elder.
Yeah.
You know, that's that camaraderie that all the men have.
No, I love them all.
No, I'm just saying all the men have with you guys.
Okay.
It's a man thing. Okay, it's a man thing. And when I talk to the sisters, you know.
They do.
They bless your cake, right. It's just a man thing. I get it. I don't think I see. Anyway, you all have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?
88.1 WFSK FM, Fisk University, Nashville.
Hold on, grab something, and brace yourself. You're about to take off to real gospel with the X-Man.
My daddy, who is nearly 70 years old, seems to feel like some of today's gospel music has lost its way. My daddy believes that when you hear gospel, it ought to sound like gospel.
What we gonna do right here is go back.